You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
Hound dog in the puck. In on the forecheck here, comes back to Willand and scores! Brady Tkachuk was in front, and I don't think Jonathan Quick saw it.
You're listening to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings.
The Rangers come out, Lemieux with Howden, Petrie back, Howden to Lemieux, he scores!
Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
Welcome back, Kings fans. I am Jesse Cohen. This is All the Kings Men. When it comes to a starting lineup, everybody loves the starter from Jack Black. Loaded with the superior skincare that the pros love, LA Kings fans can get the starter for just $10, shipping included. Available exclusively at getjackblack.com with the code TEAMJB. The starter has four of Jack Black's best-selling skincare and shave products, plus a full-size intense therapy lip balm, SPF 25, in natural mint. Here's to the winning combination of the LA Kings and the starter from Jack Black. That's $10 plus free shipping, available at getjackblack.com with the code TEAMJB while supplies last. We had a pair of trades over the last few days. Michael Amadio heads to the Ottawa Senators for Christian Willanen, and a fourth-round pick goes to the New York Rangers in exchange for Brendan Lemieux. Both new Kings have fathers that played in the NHL, and as it turns out, they already know each other and are friends. Let's hope that familiarity with each other and some other current members of the organization leads to success for all parties involved. First up, we've got Graham Creech from TSN AM 1200 in Ottawa to tell us about Christian Willanen. Then Leslie Treff from New York Sports Day will tell us what to expect from Brendan Lemieux.
In fairness to Christian, to you, to me, and the organization, I'm still finding a lot out about Christian. I did see him play in North Dakota a while ago, but a lot can change between now and then. Obviously, the bloodlines, usually that gives you a pretty good indication that he's growing up in a good hockey environment and understands the professionalism part. But I think we have to get him here. I have to spend a little more time with Blakey and the pro scouts to find out what maybe his exact strengths and weaknesses are. I do believe that when he gets here, he'll probably start in Ontario, and we'll be able to see him there a little bit.
Joining me now from TSN 1200 in Ottawa, Graham Creech. How are you doing today, Graham?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Now, we're here to talk about Christian Willanen, a defenseman traded for Michael Amadio from the Ottawa Senators to the LA Kings. So first things first, Kings fans are probably going to want to know what type of player is Christian Willanen?
Well, Christian, he's a puck-moving blue liner. So he really, when he's playing well, I like to say that he has a lot of moxie in his game. He's got some swagger in his game. So he's a puck-moving blue liner. That is capable, I think, of putting up some points. Hasn't done that this year, and I guess we'll get into that in a moment. But yeah, when he's playing well, very capable of moving the puck and maybe being a part of a second power play unit.
Now, I'm surprised to hear you say that. I probably shouldn't be. I don't know anything about the guy, so I don't know why I'm surprised. But I mean, I was just sort of glancing at his stats. 6'2", 190 pounds, 26 years old, and, you know, I didn't see a ton of points, so I just sort of assumed he was a big third pair, you know, typical sort of stay at home left pair. But you're saying he's got an offensive side to his game.
Yeah, that would be a strength for sure. You wouldn't have seen the points lately because, well, we'll take it back. Coming into last year, he was injured on the eve of training camp. Coming into last season, shoulder injury that kept him out until March. He played 9 games with Belleville and then 3 with Ottawa before the pandemic shut things down. And then, of course, Ottawa and LA weren't a part of the bubble hockey, so didn't play throughout that and until this season. So I think he's played 28 games in the last 2 years combined, AHL and NHL. So I think the reason you weren't seeing a ton of points is that factoring into, I don't know if he got the greatest opportunity here this year in Ottawa. He was, when he did get into the lineup, he was, his most common partners were Josh Brown and Erica Branson, two guys that are not known for moving the puck and they're known for not moving very well and moving the puck there. That's not their game. And in the last three games, Willannon played under 10 minutes each one, and under nine and under eight twice, and the other one was just over nine. So a lot of fans that like his game think that he wasn't great, given a great opportunity this year. That said, he would be the first to admit that he wasn't playing well when put in the lineup this year either.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the fans, because that's, I mean, I'm stealing this bit from Bill Simmons, but that's always the first thing you go to, right? Is what is the opposing team's fan reaction to any given trade? And I didn't see a ton of, good riddance to Christian Willannon, right, from Ottawa fans. I saw a bunch of people going like, oh, well, that's too bad. He never really got a shake. So let's go back 2 years to the 2018-2019 season. He plays 40 games in Belleville, 30 games in Ottawa, and in those 30 games, 4 goals, 8 assists. You know, that's good for an 8-goal, 16-assist season, which is pretty decent for a second or third pair defenseman.
Yeah, real confident guy with the puck. And even when he signed out of North Dakota and played his first 10 games in the league, he had 3 points in those 10 games and just was just like oozing confidence. And that continued to grow last year, or the 2 years ago, I guess, like as you mentioned, both in Belleville and in Ottawa. And coming into training camp last year, a lot of people thought he was going to challenge for a spot in the top six. And yeah, he hurt his shoulder on the eve of training camp, so didn't get that opportunity, and was real tough for him, for sure.
Is it a matter, I mean, this year is so bizarre. It's, you know, I almost am prepared to throw out every evaluation, you know, report from this season, because there's taxi squad, there's pandemic shutdowns, you know, everybody's only playing the same teams, right? The same seven teams over and over and over again. Was this just a numbers crunch on the left side for Ottawa's D, or was there, you know, other than the 15 games he played, were there other factors, do you think, keeping him from getting ice time?
I think I could say head coach DJ Smith probably wasn't the biggest fan of his game. And to be fair, Willannon didn't play his best hockey this year. And I think part of what contributed to that was the injury the year before, and then the delay with the pandemic. Like I said, he's played 28 games in 2 years, so not a lot of hockey for him, and not a lot of minutes, and a lot of fans, I think, because you mentioned the fans, and you didn't see much negative feedback coming back that way. It's because I think a lot of Sens fans thought that he didn't get the best look this year, and they'd admit that he wasn't the greatest when he was in the lineup at times, but this was a year where Ottawa's transitioning. It's a young team. And right now the biggest holes are on the blue line until some of the guys that they've already drafted end up stepping into the lineup. And a lot of fans would have liked to have seen him given a longer rope and then probably spent some time with some more D partners that were more better than what he was with, basically. Artem Zub is a guy, he's in his rookie season from the KHL, and he's had a real good start to the year, just real easy to play with, puts the puck in good spots for his partner, and is always in a good spot for support. And he's partnered up with Mike Riley, who had a terrible start to the season, and now that has been arguably Ottawa's best pair. So a lot of fans wanted to see Willannon get an opportunity with him, because he needs to play 13 more games this year before he becomes a Group 6 unrestricted free agent. So a lot of fans wanted to see him get those games and a look with a partner better than the two that he had spent most of his time with. And that didn't come. And it would be fair to say that in the minutes that he did play, he didn't earn as much ice time as everyone would have liked to have seen him get.
You know, defense is a strange position, because if you're on a good team and your forward core is helping you out and you've got a great goalie, you know, your workload is a lot less, right? You know, if you look back at the Kings, for example, 2011 to 2015, there were a bunch of replacement level, you know, pretty pedestrian defensemen, you know, earning paychecks and getting pretty decent numbers off of the fact that the entire team was built around defense and everything. I'm looking at the Ottawa Senators this year. And again, not the plus minus is the be all and end all of stat. We all are familiar with its flaws, but I'm looking at a bunch of minus 15s, 14s, 13s, 12s, 11s, 10s. I mean, how much help was Willannon actually getting from the rest of the team? Because Ottawa doesn't, I mean, I'm we all know about the sickos meme and, you know, and the rebuild. So, I mean, how much of his weak play was maybe on him, and how much of it was just, this is not the best team for a guy coming off of an injury with relatively little experience?
Yeah, he definitely struggled in his own end, for sure. That would be fair to say. But yeah, I think it would be fair to say that part of it was probably who he was spending most of his shifts with, which would have been Josh Brown and Eric Branson, who also have very poor possession numbers, plus minus, whatever you want to look at. And the reason that you just listed off all those numbers at the start of the year, there was a stretch where they went 0-8-1. And I think there were 2-11 or 2-12 and one on the year. And they were going with a lineup that had three guys that probably wouldn't have been in the top six of many other teams. And that's Josh Brown, Erica Branson, and Braden Coburn. All three of them were in the lineup at the same time, and they weren't getting any saves. If you look at the save percentage of Matt Murray and Marcus Hogberg, they had a brutal start to the season. And now the team's kind of gone away from that. They've put some younger blue liners in and given them more responsibility. And notably, Zub coming into the lineup was one. Eric Brandstrom and Christian Melanin seeing some time was another. But the forward group, the young guys up front have been kind of given the ball, and it's a new team than what started the season. Plus they're getting saves from the goaltenders that are playing right now. So a lot of those numbers happened over the brutal stretch to start the season, and everybody it deserves to take that heat. And it hasn't been perfect for him in his own end, for sure. But I think he has an opportunity to find his game. And he's a guy that he's really proud and confident. And I think he'll really like this opportunity to prove some people wrong and show what type of player he can be.
That pride and confidence, are those sort of defining characteristics of him off the ice? Like, it's rare that you find an NHL player who has a really clearly defined personality. When Ben Hutton came to LA last offseason, it was sort of stunning because everybody was like, oh, he's a real cut up. He's great. He's, loves, getting everybody in the right mood. Most guys are like, salt of the earth, good old Canadian farm boy, whatever it is. does he have a strong identity off the ice?
Oh, big time. He, Kings fans are, and anyone like you, anyone working in media, covering the Kings will love this guy. He's great in front of a microphone or a TV camera. I'll tell you a couple stories, I guess. Number one, when he first came out of college, what part of my role covering the team is I get the first intermission interview with the player. And, typically the Sens PR won't let us interview a player in their first game, between periods, because they just want them to focus and not worry about that responsibility.
Sure.
With the media. And Willanen was, so the Sens PR guy came down to me. He's like, you want Willanen? And I was like, what? I can have him. They're like, oh yeah, he'll be fine. And the first time I spoke to him, I was like, okay. I'm like, this guy gets it for sure. And then the other is him and I actually hosted a podcast together.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Yeah. So when he got injured at the start of last year, he was just looking to keep busy and on top of, like, he was definitely, I don't want to take anything away from his dedication to get healthy and fight back in the lineup, because he did that. He took that very seriously. But we recorded, I think, 5 or 6 episodes together and just got to know him better as a player and a person. So you'll love him. You're gonna love this guy when he steps in front of a microphone or a camera.
Well, that's great, because our two bottom left side defensemen for this season they both seem like lovely guys, and obviously they're Kings, so we love them. But the numbers not so great, so maybe this will help shore up the Kings' defense. I want to thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And best of luck to you out there in Ottawa.
Thanks. Cheers.
Well, I think when you put a team together, you're looking for different types of ingredients, and obviously skill and speed and the scoring, the checking, the grit, toughness, those are all elements that are required to be a good team. And Brendan's proven that he brings a certain element, that grit, that nastiness, that toughness. you know, with some other teams in the National Hockey League. He's still considered a very young player age-wise and experience-wise, and we think that he can help.
Joining me now, the hockey editor for New York Sports Day and a member of the Professional Hockey Writers Association, Leslie Treff. How are you doing today, Leslie?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jesse?
Well, I'm wonderful. It's up in the 80s now out here in California. How are things out in New York?
Not that good.
Yeah.
But we've had a gorgeous day, so I can't complain.
Good.
For the end of March, this is wonderful.
Always good to hear. Well, the LA Kings have executed a few trades over the past few days, and one of them is a fourth-round pick for Brendan Lemieux. So I'm curious, you cover the Rangers. What do Kings fans need to know about Brendan Lemieux and what kind of player he is?
Oh, you got a good guy there for a fourth-round pick. Basically, he is your typical agitator, a pest who no team likes to play against. And I think you're going to be very happy with what you get. He likes to play a rough game. And basically, the only problem with him is, and this is often the case with the agitators, is that he occasionally goes over the line. So that's something you have to watch out for. But otherwise, he's a great player. He's obviously a third or fourth line player. And he did very well here. He was here for just about a little over 2 years. And the fans loved him, loved his game. And frankly, we don't have anybody to replace him yet. So we're going to have to see what happens.
Now, I know he draws a lot of penalties. I'm curious, are most of those as a result of how he moves his body on the ice? Or are most of those how he moves his mouth and other people's bodies on the ice?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. Certainly, he's a chatty guy, and he's not quiet on the ice. And this was particularly obvious when there were no fans in the arena. You could hear him. But now, basically, he's kind of tricky. So I wouldn't say he's fast, but he makes the plays. And he's a smart player. He's always been a smart player. So I would say that you got a really good deal here, and that the line mates that he had in New York, I really thought that they were clicking. And this past month, he actually played on the power play earlier in the month. That was a short-lived experiment. But I think he's an excellent fourth line player. Excellent. And I'm really sorry to see him go.
So I mean, listen, I'm glad to hear you say that. I'm not to, you know, not to take pleasure from
not
your pain.
Not for us.
For your pain. Yeah, sure. But when a trade happens, one of the things that, you know, is an easy sort of litmus test or barometer is to get the fan reaction from the opposite team, right? Are they upset to see the guy go? Or are they happy to see the guy go? Are Rangers fans going to be happy with this trade, do you think?
Oh, no. They're already unhappy with the trade. Brendan Lemieux was, I would say, probably the most aggressive player on the team. The Rangers are filled with young players who really are going to be outstanding players. But they're not rough and tough players. So, you know, there is no one else on the team at this point. I think there will be. There's actually a player in the AHL right now he's a tough guy and he's a defenseman. So they're grooming him to move up front. So he'll be a forward. And I think they'll bring him up. But he doesn't have Lemieux skills. So I just wonder who they're going to get. But we do have a couple of guys in the pipeline that I think can fill that role. And I think the Rangers saw a deal. And not only that, they do have quite a few fourth-line players. Let's say bottom six players. I wouldn't say fourth line. But players in the bottom who can take a bottom six role. And I think they saw an opportunity. he makes more than, I mean, he doesn't make a lot at this point. This year, his cap hit is $1.55 million. But they've got entry-level guys, and they have lower, they have, let's say, some cap issues due to the penalties. So this was a deal that they saw, and I guess that what they're hoping for is down the line they will be able to replace him. And I think they probably will, but the fan reaction was not good. Let's just put it that way.
Well, the type of roster you're describing sounds very much like what we have here in LA. A ton of young, talented, skilled players, but maybe nobody with that sandpaper, I guess, for lack of a better word, in
right.
their game.
Right.
You know, the day of the heavyweight enforcer is gone. How does he stack up as a middleweight or flyweight when it comes to, you know, when the agitation does go too far?
Okay, well, I wouldn't say he's a flyweight. He's 213 pounds.
Oh, yeah, not at all.
So even though he's not, you know, he's only 6'1", and I say only 6'1", that's probably about the middle of the pack, but he's 213 pounds, so he's not a lightweight in any way. But what Brendan does that's really wonderful, in my mind, is that if you have a fourth line like the Rangers had, where they were playing two other guys who had some offensive skill, they're still like fourth line players, but they can put the puck in the net. He's very good at opening up space. So I think that he will do that for you guys. You know, I'm not totally familiar with what your bottom six looks like at this point, but I just think that he's going to, you know, be a good player for you. And in fact, when the trade was announced, the Rangers said that he can get more playing time in LA. They thought that it would be good for him because I would say Lemieux played somewhere between 7 and 12 minutes a game. That's about it. And I think he can be used for more minutes, but there just wasn't any room for it in New York. So that, you know, I think that he could be happy with this trade, even though New Yorkers are not so happy with it.
Well, everything here is a work in progress. As we said, a ton of guys down in the minors waiting for their chance to fight for a lineup spot. But Leslie, I want to thank you very much for joining me. Appreciate it.
Sure. Anytime, and best of luck to both Brendan and to the Kings.
And to you and the Rangers. If you want to follow Leslie on Twitter, you can find her at HFNY Rangers. And we appreciate your time again.